The reading is Psalm 3, and it's in your sheet today. Lord, how many are my foes? How many rise up against me? Many are saying of me, God will not deliver him. But you, Lord, are a shield around me, my glory, the one who lifts my head high. I call out to the Lord, and he answers me from his holy mountain. I lie down and sleep. I wake again, because the Lord sustains me. I will not fear, though tens of thousands assail me on every side. Arise, Lord, deliver me, my God. Strike all my enemies on the jaw. Break the teeth of the wicked. From the Lord comes deliverance. May your blessing be on your people. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Sue. Roberto, would you like to come up and then we can pray for you? So, Father in heaven, we thank you because we can meet together this morning and we know that you are with us today. You are with us here. And we pray that you will open our eyes and open our ears so that we may receive what you want to say to us today. So bless your servant as he brings your word to us. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. What do we do with our emotions? What do you do with your emotions? Although you are British and you have been taught from very early age how to control your emotions, I asked my wife, how do you say in English this idea of controlling emotions? And she said to me, yes, it's a stiff upper lip. Is that right? Okay. So you are brilliant in this idea of controlling emotions. So you know, inside you can have a volcano, but inside it's like, nope, that's fine. It's a nice, everything is okay. It's to do with culture. It's so interesting to come from another culture, because you can see very clearly all the good things and the bad things, the ups and downs, the weaknesses and the strengths of another culture much easier than when you live in your own culture. Yeah. So, you know, coming here from Spain, being married to a British citizen, it is quite interesting to see how the whole thing works. So the question is, how do you control your emotions? Especially those emotions which are, we call it negative emotions. Things like anger, sadness, disappointment, grief, sorrow, lament. Although maybe sometimes they don't come out because we can control them, and this is part of our education, but it is inside. You know, the volcano is inside. I think in a way it's sad that, you know, we have been taught from very early age, especially in my generation, and probably your generation even more, to control those emotions, because there are natural emotions. And it's healthy to come out. It's healthy that they really are shown sometimes, obviously with some restraint, but they are shown. We are human beings, after all. We have been made in the image of God. So God also feels sadness. God also feels anger. It's not just the meek and humble Jesus that sometimes we preach. It's also the God of anger. Or do you think God is in heaven and he sees the wars and all the terrible things that are going on in our world and he feels like, okay, that's fine? Well, I'm sorry, that is not my God. I want a God that really feels angry about the whole situation, upset. A God who laments when he sees all the terrible things that are going on in our planet. a God that feels sad when we see the way we are handling our planet. So we have been made in the image of God, so all these things, all these emotions, which we call negative emotions, which I will just call emotions. Why are they negative? They're part of ourselves, a part of who we are. God didn't make anything which was negative, did he? So if we are made in the image of God, everything we are is part of who he is. And sometimes we should feel angry about things. Sometimes we should feel upset about things. I was reading an article recently that this is the time of history where there are more millions of people who are in slave conditions. How is it possible? I think they were talking about 60 or 63 million people in the world who are living under these terrible conditions of slavery. Shouldn't we, especially as Christians, feel angry about it, sad, lament, cry, shout? At least in the Old Testament, we can see, you know, the prophets shouting and screaming and saying, no, this is not the way. And also screaming at the people of God, something which the pastors, I think we should do more from time to time as well. No, this is not the way the people of God behaves. This is not the way the church should do the things. So emotions are part of who we are, and we are made in the image of God. I remember with sadness when I was little, this was last century, by the way. Like you, I don't know why you're laughing. You know, most of you were born last century. Yes? Well, most of you, or probably all of you. How old are you? Yeah. 15, so you are probably the only one in the whole congregation born in this century. The rest of us are from last century. Anyway, I remember my dad, when I cried, my dad said, don't cry. Cry is only for girls. Do you remember that? Don't cry. Don't be silly. Only girls cry. Control yourself. Men don't cry. Well, what a terrible thing to say. One of the most healthy things we have in life is to be able to cry. Because we show that we are human after all, that we have emotions, that we feel sadness. So this is a psalm of lament. It's a song that David wrote in a very, very difficult times. And again, part of our culture is that we only produce songs and sing songs which are songs of love and joy and whatever, but when was last time you sang a song of lament? I can't remember. In fact, I cannot remember a song of lament. But part of the Jewish culture, we have these songs of lament, in which it helps us because it shows us that even a man like David, a spiritual man of God, he felt like that and he cried like that and he sang these songs in the temple. Oh, Lord, how many are my enemies? How many rise up against me? Many are saying to me, God will not deliver you. And he sang these things. So I'm glad this psalm is here. We should take our concerns and our laments and our anger and our sorrows and our sadness. We should bring all these things to the Lord. In fact, for the last thousands and thousands of years, the people of God have come to the Lord with this. Been open to who they are, what is going on in their lives, all the ups and downs. Because God understands us. If there is anybody in the whole of the universe who understands who we really are and what is going on through our minds and our hearts, this is the Lord. So we have all freedom to go to God and say, Lord, this is how I feel. And the Lord will say, yeah, yes, darling, I understand. Of course I understand you. I understand what you are going through. I understand your doubts. I understand your sorrows. I have also been sorrow, very sorrow, when I lost my son. So in some cases, when I visit people who have lost a loved one, especially sons, daughters, this is what I say: if somebody in the whole of the universe understands you, this is God. In fact, more than anybody else, because God could have saved his son and he allowed it to carry on the cross. So how do we handle these negative emotions? And yes, there's nothing wrong with it. God also has emotions, by the way. Let me tell you that in Isaiah chapter 5, he shows his emotions with his people. He calls his people like a vineyard, and he says, look, you know, my vineyard, you know, is not producing good fruit. And he feels very sad about the whole situation. How is it possible that my people, who should be producing good fruit, are running away from me? What's going on with my vineyard? Jesus, in Jerusalem, he cries, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those sent to you, how often," and this is a lament, of a cry from Christ, "how often I have longed to gather you, your children, together, as the hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing. What am I going to do with you? I have sent you prophets. I have sent you preachers to wake you up, to bring you, all of you, back to me. And the way you have handled them is just to kill them and to stone them. What else can I do for you?" So David here is writing this psalm because of a special situation. His son and his favorite son, which is Absalom, he has created this terrible rebellion against him, against the king. I don't think there's anything more painful than a member of our family, especially our sons and daughters, to produce a rebellion in our own home against us in trying to kill us. Can you imagine that situation? It's just beyond understanding that our favorite son or daughter will produce some kind of rebellion to get us out of the place, take away our authority, take away our position as a king, and try to kill us. So he writes this psalm lamenting, and his enemy is Absalom, his son. "You are trying to kill me." "You come in with your armies to destroy me." So how does David handle this situation? What is the best medicine that he uses? It's very simple. I cry to the Lord. I talk to the Lord. Yes, okay, we can talk to the pastor. That's fine. It's good. We can talk to friends about our situations. But I tell you something. Very often I say to people, you know, it's nothing I can do. Years ago, when I was working in London, I used to go to St. Helens in the city. And there was a very great preacher called Dick Lucas. And sometimes I will go and see him. I had a chat with him. And obviously, we kept this friendship for years to come. And one year, coming back to UK to visit the family, I went to see him with my wife, and he said something very important. He said, "Roberto, the only way you can cope with ministry is every time you had a situation, difficult situation, you handle the situation back to God. It's not yours. You have not the solution to resolve anybody's problem. Some of them are so big that if you try to carry these problems, this is going to crush your ministry. You won't be able to do it. So at the end of the day, you say all these things, all these conversations, all these people, all these laments and sorrows, Lord, I pass them to you. You are the only one who can handle this. You are the only one who understands the situation. You are the only one who can heal this person. So pass them to God. Don't try to carry them over your shoulders. This will crush you. And exactly the same, I pass this to you. Don't try to carry all these burdens with you. You cannot do it. We all have limited strength to carry somebody's burdens. Pass them to the Lord in prayer. And this is what he does here. He writes a letter to the Lord, really. In fact, this is a letter. Lord, blah, 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 blah. This is what is going on. You know who are my enemies? My son. And the most amazing thing when I read this psalm is that once he has written these things, he's saying that I can sleep. When normally, when you are in trouble, the first thing that goes is sleep. That's why you wake up, I wake up in the middle of the night with all these things going on in your mind, and you stay there for hours thinking in this and thinking in that. But once you take this to the Lord and you pray that, Lord, this is for you, then you can go back to sleep. Because we cannot resolve certain situations. And also something that David has very clear in mind is that the Lord is my shield. Verse 3. You are my shield around me. It's not just one shield like that in front of me. You are a shield around me. It's a full protection. The Lord is there with us. His Spirit is with us. That's what we say in church. So yes, you are a shield around me, oh Lord. So yes, David understands that only God can protect him from so much evil that is going on in his life at that moment. To the Lord I cry aloud. You see, he's not British. You have no problem to cry aloud. To shout. Years ago, we met a lady in our church back in Spain. This lady had few children. All of them, they were involved in drugs. Some of them had already died. And she used to tell us, I go to the mountains, to the forest, and I shout to the Lord. And I tell him all my complaints. And I cry aloud. In the middle of the forest. And I tell him how angry I am with people and with God. I say, well done. We have examples here. I cry to the Lord aloud. I tell him all my difficulties. I tell him who I am and where I am at this moment. I think the Lord likes when we are transparent. And we tell him what is going on in our lives. That's what he wants. Transparency. To be that we are natural in our relationship with him. Yes. To the Lord I cry aloud. And he answered me. From his holy hill. You see, and then once you cry to the Lord aloud and you tell him what is going on, I lie down and sleep. I wake up again because the Lord sustains me. I will not fear 10,000. Arise, O Lord. This is something, a nice, very short prayer. O Lord, arise. Arise. So faith in the Lord, faith in prayer. That the Lord will help us. When we are anxious, the first thing it goes is sleep, but the first thing that should come is prayer. We have been working in pastoral work as pastors in Spain and England for the last 30 years. In fact, this is our 30th year, next month, September. 30 years working for the Lord. How many nights I have woken up with concerns for people, for family, for people, for individuals, for churches. I have learned not to force myself to go back to sleep, first of all, to bring things to the Lord. And once I done that, I then go back to sleep. I just finished with one verse. It's in Philippians. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, just in case you haven't heard, says Paul. Rejoice in the Lord always. Rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. It's because when we are upset or because when we are in a difficult position, difficult place, probably one of the first things that goes is gentleness. We become angry with people. We react in ways which are not very Christian, are we? So that's why they say, you know, rejoice in the Lord and carry on being gentle with people. People are not, it's not their fault of what is going on in your life very often, sometimes. Rejoice in the Lord. Your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. Do you know what is the key word in all this text? Anybody wants to guess? Nope. You'll never guess anyway. That's why I ask you. The key word here is and. Do all these things. Take this medication daily, continuously. Be gentle. Do this, do that. Pray. Be grateful. And the God of peace and the peace of God that transcends all understanding will be with you. When years ago I had my operation, heart operation, the doctor said to me, if you take this medication, you will feel much better. He said to me, well, by the way, you are not a child any longer, so I cannot just go behind you. Have you taken the medication? It's up to you. But if you take the medication, you will feel better. You will have a better quality of life. Exactly the same. We cannot be behind every individual to say, are you rejoicing in the Lord today? Have you? Have you rejoiced in the Lord today? In all conditions? Are you gentle with everybody? Have you been gentle today with your wife or your husband or your neighbor? Have you been gentle with everybody? Are you anxious? Don't be anxious. Are you praying to the Lord? Are you have an attitude of thanksgiving to the Lord? Have you thanked Him for something today? Or is only asking? Where the Lord says, if you put all these things into practice, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, cannot even imagine, will guard the two things which are more important in any human being, your mind and your heart. This is what we are. We have minds and we have hearts. So, my dear brothers and sisters, take the medication. Rejoice in the Lord always. Be gentle with everybody. Don't be anxious about anything, but in everything through prayer and petitions, and also with thanksgiving. So, there are many things which we can also give thanks to God today. Present your request to God, and the God of peace, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will be with you. Yesterday, after going to visit this member of the congregation who has very serious cancer, and he has this machine to produce oxygen, so he cannot breathe properly. You can see that, you know, he really struggles to breathe. At the end, when I reached home, I said, "Lord, I'm so thank you. I'm so thankful because I can breathe properly." Take for granted that you are breathing and you don't feel like, "Oh, I haven't got oxygen." When was last time you were thankful to the Lord? "Lord, thank you so much because I can breathe fresh air." Tell me. Something that happens every single minute of the day since the day you were born. A country where there is freedom to meet together and we are not persecuted. Thankfulness because we are being chosen by the Lord and our minds have been opened so we understand God. Thank you for this community. Thank you for this country. Thank you for laws. Thank you for police. Thank you for government. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you because we are not in Syria. Thank you. Thankfulness. I would say probably thankfulness before petition. Do you understand what I'm saying? Be thankful before you start asking. So may the Lord bless you all.